Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to my show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it is so happy to have you with us today. It's a beautiful day in the South. We're coming up on Cinco de Mayo and May, and as everybody says, May flowers. We're getting a lot of rain, and this morning I was going out and I noticed there were so many wildflowers around, and you don't even notice those sometimes because everybody's cutting their grass every 2 to 3 days, but it's rained for the past 2 weeks, so nobody's cut their grass. Just how lovely it is to see all of these wildflowers everywhere. And there's so many of those little bee flowers around. And you think, gosh, I don't remember those being in my grass. It's because you keep cutting it down so much, you know. So it's just a lovely day here in the South. And I hope the weather where you are is getting a little bit warmer. I know a lot of people are still having snow in the Northeast. And that may be kind of difficult to be able to get all your vegetables and stuff in this summer. But hopefully we'll see. So today, we have a great guest with us today. His name is Alan Smith. He is the author of the book, How to Unbreak Your Health, and it's a map to the world of complementary and alternative therapies. So welcome to my world, as we would say. These are all of the therapies that we talk about as naturopathic physicians, as other alternative healthcare providers, as people who are in the healing professions. All of these different type things that maybe would help you heal a certain part of you. Now, yes, we say that there's a lot of therapies, you know, that will, oh, I sat down, I went to do this therapy, I went to a healing spa, I went to whatever it was, and somebody laid their hands on me, and, oh, I came out and I was healed. Fabulous. But there's billions and billions of people who don't have that experience, and they are still searching. So today we're going to be talking about a lot of these therapies and what that search might mean for you. It's great to have a book like Alan's because it has so many therapies listed in it. There's over 200 pages in this book, and he talks briefly a page or two about each, gives you stories, gives you comments by other people and professionals, and there's also websites attached to that so you can go find out more information on your own, which is super important. So I'd like to welcome Alan to the show. Good afternoon, Alan.
Well, good afternoon, Dr. Gallagher. Thank you for having me on.
You know, it's such a great day, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, and as I said in the beginning, so many people that are hurting just don't feel that it is a great day every day. And it seems like almost everybody you talk to has something or some part of themselves that they really need to work on healing. And I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit story about how you even got started with this. I mean, you're not an MD, so you haven't hit the wall and said, I don't want to give out prescriptions anymore. So why would you want to even start with this?
Well, like many folks, Dr. Gallagher, I kind of stumbled into it through the back door. I had my own health issues, and many years ago ended up at the Mayo Clinic, and after days of testing at the world's finest medical facility, and I give them full credit, they really are. But modern medicine doesn't have all the answers. They're still looking for a lot of the questions at this point. And after a couple of days of testing and all the checkups and everything else, they said, well, I mean, the good news is what you've got probably won't kill you, but the bad news is we don't have a clue on what to do about it. And they sent me home, and I'm like, well, that doesn't solve my problem. So I said, well, you know, now where do you go? I mean, I've exhausted mainstream medicine, so I thought I'd start looking around for something of my own, something in the world of complementary and alternative medicine. And lo and behold, it was just a week or two later, I ran across a review on a book put out by Bruce Lipton. And a phenomenal book, whose title escapes me at the moment, unfortunately. But it really just opened my eyes that there were a lot of other things out there that I'd never heard of. And at the very end of the book, he talks about Rob Lipton up in Colorado, and his therapy called Psych-K. And I said, well, you know, I got to learn more about that. So I tracked down Rob and called him at home and said, you know, Rob, tell me more about this Psy-K stuff. And we had a nice chat for about half an hour, and he said, listen, we got a facilitator right down there in Dallas. He said, you know, here's her name and number. And so I called her, and lo and behold, went to training, actually learned to become a Psy-K facilitator myself. And the more I learned, the better my health got. And I said, well, this is great stuff. I need to tell more people about this. But, you know, it's kind of like pulling a string. You pull a little bit, and a little more comes out, and you pull a little bit more, and a little more comes out. And from Psy-K, I learned other things, and other things taught me something else. And it just became amazing that there were literally hundreds of different therapies out there that I'd never even heard of before. So as my health got better, the more I learned, and I kept saying, boy, somebody needs to write a book on all this stuff. And everybody kept pointing the finger back at me saying, yeah, somebody needs to write a book. So eventually I said, well, I guess it's time to put my old journalism degree to use and get to work, and sat down and got it done.
You know, that's really interesting, because I think, I don't know your age, but mine, I grew up in the age of the hippies, of course, in the 60s and 70s, and we really did not always have what we would call mainstream medicine. You know, the doctor still came to our house, the pediatrician, if we had a sore throat, and we didn't get a prescription to go buy some liquid someplace. He gave us a shot of penicillin, and we were told to stay in the house. And my brother and sister had croup, and we were told, take the cap off the radiator, put them in the tub, hang shower curtain around, and open the window so that cold, you know, air from being in the Northeast, along with the steam out of the radiator, was going to help the croup. Mm-hmm. And to this day, you know, that is what now I always tell my clients that come, or even my own kids, that's what we always did, you know, when they had the croup and stuff, you know. There's the old saying, you know, from your house to the ER, if you've got croup, you really don't need to be here, because you're going to get better on the way. It's the cold air, you know, on your way getting there. Every
yep.
time I got there, every single time. Well, aren't you better? You had your windows down on the way in, didn't you? And it said, yeah, and I'm not going to be better on my way back home. So, you know, it definitely is. Some people may have been exposed to thinking about that there might be different ways to do things, but they always dismissed it as, you know, a home remedy, or my grandmother told me. But really, those are healing therapies. And I think we really need to give a little bit more credit and kudos to those, because they were passed down from people who were healers. You know,
oh,
everybody
absolutely.
Now wants to be a healer of this, that, and the other. And it's just that they're trying to tack names on them to make them seem so important, you know?
Which, trust me, as you're researching a book, becomes very challenging when you hear five different titles for what is, in effect, the same therapy. But like
right.
I said,
mean,
each
how,
doctor
yeah.
wants to have their own PR, so they put their own name on it.
I just love it. I mean, how many times will we like to take breathing, okay?
mm-hmm.
You sit down and you breathe in and out, and we're going to take it, and it's going to be this one where I want you to go slow, another one where I want you to focus. There's another one where I want you to do it underwater. There's another one where I want you to do it, you know, when you're laying down. Another one, oh, never lay down. You have to be sitting up, and it's like, oh, my Lord, you know? And it's like the rules, you know?
You know, but as I started to collect some of the information on the book, one of the things that really kind of struck me is the whole world of complementary alternative medicine is kind of secret. I mean, we kind of talk about it in whispers and you know, like it's not meant for polite society, and yet literally 2/3 of Americans have used some kind of complementary alternative therapy. So if that many people are using it, why is it still such a secret out there?
I think because we've given it a label as such. In other words, I can remember sending my kids to school. They would be standing at the bus stop. This was in the early 80s. And you know how the kids would be standing there with their breakfast because they would have to be shoved out the door quick? Well, my daughter would have orange juice, but she always had echinacea in it. And the kids would ask, can I have some of your juice? And she's like, this isn't my juice. This is my herbs. You can't have them, you know? And you think... Nowadays, it's like you have to hide that from your doctor. You have to hide that from your friends that you're doing something like that. And it's like, why are we doing that? Why has it common things that we used to do so long ago now taken on such a negative connotation?
Well, and it's strictly because of the PR and the legal work from the, you know, pharmaceutical and medical industries. I mean, the poor chiropractors had to go to federal court to get them to stop badgering them. And that was 20 years ago. So As much as we think things have improved over time, sometimes the lobbyists and their powers have gone the other direction on us.
You know, so many times, in fact, recently I've had people say to me, well, when I go into the doctor, I just sit down and tell them what hurts. I tell them what drugs I have in my pocket, and that's all I tell them because that's all he wants to know.
Mm-hmm.
But then they go out, and pretty much 90% of their healing is done outside of that interface in the office because they know that that drug may just help with that symptom, or they just go in for a medical test so they can get a word or diagnosis, and then they go home and then they try to heal that on their own.
Exactly.
And I think to most part that works, you know, because for a lot of people that does. We have the new paradigm now with all the, quote, outcomes. Everybody has to have an outcome now because of the Obama whatever doomy thingy. I don't even get involved in that. But when they turned around and they said that hospice care was going to be taken off, the whole theory around that was is because no one can really define when somebody's within, quote, 6 months of dying. And the minute you say you're going to hospice, they're going to stop all of your traditional treatments. That's it. So if you were getting certain things, you know, to be able to cure your cancer, you're not getting it anymore on Monday because you're going to hospice Monday.
Mm-hmm.
People don't really realize that. But then you may go into hospice for 4 or 5 months and you may say, okay, I'm on my own healing adventure now. You know, pick up a bunch of books, do a lot of things, get a lot of gurus in, see what you can do, and you may live for 5 or 6 more years. And you know what that does? That totally POs the people. Because,
absolutely.
Right. Because, she had spontaneous healing. Yeah, right. But see, once you're in hospice, you're locked into that paradigm. So a lot of people, maybe we want to be looking at these healing therapies when it's not our 6 months left. Not, you know, I'm at the death door. You know, healing therapies like you have in your book are best instituted, you know, much earlier than, hey, you know, Monday he's stopping my drugs. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? I'm going to hospice. I'm just going to lay in a bed for 6 months till I croak.
Yep.
Let's do it a little earlier, right?
Absolutely. And it's amazing how people rely on the doctor to be the voice of God, that he's got all the answers. And, in fact, he doesn't. And it's only when they're kind of cut loose do they start to look for their own answers and begin to understand that their body is connected to their mind, is connected to their spirit or energy. It's a whole package. You can't just treat one part of it and expect to get the results that you're looking for. One of the stories I always give is to try and illustrate the example is here in Texas we have a lot of allergy problems. And you can have three
mm-hmm.
people waiting in the doctor's office with identical symptoms, the same sneezes,
right.
the same everything, and yet the first person, the real source of his allergic issue is in his body. He needs a therapy like NAET, which is a little bit of massage, a little bit of other things, but it's a physical therapy. And it'll do great for him, but the person he's sitting next to, the source of their allergy reaction is not in their body, but in their mind. So a physical therapy is not going to do them any good at all. They need something like Psy-K to deal with their mental issues. And yet the third person sitting in the office chairs, their source of their problem is not in the body or in the mind, but in their spirit or energy system. They need not a body therapy or a mind therapy, but something like acupuncture that's going to deal with the energy and spirit in the body. So people, once you explain it, they say, you know, that begins to make a little sense. Why, you know, even with the drugs, sometimes they work great and sometimes they don't work at all. And people don't understand, you know, why that should be. It's a drug, it should do the same thing. But it depends where the real source of the problem is coming from. It's one of the reasons I'm sorry, go ahead.
You're right, go ahead. Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, one of the tweaks I did on the second edition that came out mm-hmm. a year or so back was that I put in the feature of a map to try
mm-hmm.
and explain to people, because this whole body, mind, spirit thing is just confusing to a lot of people. I mean, they're used
right.
to going to the doctor for the body, to the psychiatrist for the mind, and to church for the spirit. And the thought that they might, you know, actually be overlapping different areas just confuses them. And I said, well, look at it like a map. If you unfold the old-fashioned paper map long before the days of GPS, the map showed the physical terrain of where you were looking.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the body therapies. There are lines that go horizontally and vertically, the longitude and latitude. Those are the mind, the human-created elements of the map. Those would be comparable to a mind therapy. And yet, even those two together frequently don't tell you where you are and where you want to go. Then you have to get into an invisible, magical element, something that was used hundreds of years ago and they had trouble explaining, but it helped the ships figure out where they needed to go. It enabled them to point to the north all the time. Magnetism,
right.
A type of energy that would enable them to determine which direction they were going so that they could change their course and end up going the right way. But unless you use all of those together, you're not going to find out exactly where you are and exactly which way you need to go to get where you want to be.
You know, and so many times if you could sit outside an office and 10 people can go in, and like you said, with allergies, and you've given about 4 or 5 instances, but you also can look at some other ones, too, that where you turn around and you say, she's allergic to her dog. She's not going to get rid of her dog. But she'll get the same drug that everybody else got. But then you have another person who, well, they've been on vacation, and they were in Hawaii, and they've been around all these flowers they're not normally around, but in their patient said they didn't connect it, so they didn't bother to tell the doctor, and they got the same drug. You know? And then you have another one who, well, maybe the mother changed detergents this week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting another the same drug. So there is a total disconnect in that paradigm where they actually believe that something outside themselves that they need to be looking at to take care of prior to getting that drug.
Absolutely. Could not agree with you more. And yet,
you know, it was so interesting. I had gone this past weekend, to a healing mass at a Catholic shrine. Now, in my mind, I thought, oh, my goodness, this healing mass, it's a healing shrine. They only do this once a year. There's going to be people in wheelchairs and stretchers all over the creation, and they'll be coming out of the woodwork, and, oh, my goodness, I told my husband, we better get down there at least 4 hours early or we'll never even get a place to park or a place to sit. All righty. So we get, it's pouring cats and dogs. And I mean, in New Orleans here, that means, you know, 5 or 6 inches of rain in an hour. It pours like nobody's business.
Exactly.
But we had gotten there and there were all just regular people sitting in the seats. And we got into our seat, and we were good to go. And the lady next to me just kept chatting away and chatting away. And another lady was up front telling her testimony how this father at the shrine had, you know, when she prayed to him, had helped heal the child. And a woman's talking to me next to me about, you know, what she's got on the stove for dinner and stuff. And I had to tell her to shut up because I said, you know, you may come here all the time, but this is the first time for me. Can you be quiet? So, okay, she did. So then I started listening and looking around, and I said, you know what? I don't see any wheelchairs. And I saw no stretchers. And I saw no people that they were, like, falling down, like crawling to get to this healing mass. And I thought, wow, what is that really all about? What kind of healing are we really looking for inside our body is number one. But then number two, are those people in those seats looking for a healing inside themselves that they're looking for instead of maybe letting everyone else or the next person to them know about that? So how many people are really walking around the earth that are really need an inner healing that they really can't find?
Mm-hmm.
But then the lady started talking. She says, and we were going to pray for our doctors that they get some help, you know, to be able to join with us in our healing process. And she was going down that road. And so they did not diss the medical community at all. But they also said, you know, that pray to the Father because you do get, you know, really good healing from that. And it was so interesting. And you think, what kind of people are the healing are they looking for? Body, mind, soul, or spirit, or whatever it is. And then do they really show that to other people? Are they all hiding it within themselves, which makes it just eat you from the core? And then you look at it and you say, you know, these are probably not even Catholics in this place. You know, they may just be people who need this healing. So when we think about all these therapies, you say, do we have, you know, they always say, oh, do I have to be a hippie? Do I have to wear a long skirt? Do I have to sit there and chime and hum and all that other stuff? And the answer is no. You know, healing comes in all kinds of forms. So I think, you know, if we could start going through maybe just a few of the different types of therapies you have in your book, because there's definitely some in the book here for healing of that body, mind, and spirit. I mean, granted, naturopathy, okay, we can heal many things that, you know, in your body to get all your systems to start working better and everything. You know, medical part, we can heal you. We can take out the piece that's gotten so big that, hey, any type of healing is not going to get rid of that. But then there's a lot of others, like we said, don't wait for that last 6 months. Let's see what we can start doing now. So if you could start talking about a few, that would be absolutely great.
Well,
My favorite one is easy,
and that would be laughter therapy. I like it because, A, it's free, so that puts it on the top of my list real quick. But it's also used in such a wide variety of health issues. I mean, it can be literally used on almost anything, and people just don't understand. This is something that actually, if you go back to the Bible, the Proverbs 17:22 says a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries out the bones. This is not a new idea. This is thousands of years old, and yet it wasn't until there was a book that came out, I want to say in the late 60s or early 70s, and the writer had been pretty much written off by mainstream medicine. He was in extreme pain. I've forgotten the diagnosis, but it was a neurological disease, and he was hurt, and he was on basically heroin-type drugs, couldn't sleep for more than an hour at a time, and pretty much on the downhill slide, kind of like you said, the last 6 months issue.
Right.
And he started taking his health into his own hands, and he discovered that if he would watch a funny movie or something and he could laugh for 15, 20 minutes, he could sleep relatively pain-free for 2 or 3 hours, which is more than he was getting from any of the drugs.
Mm.
And he said, you know, there may be something here. So he started researching it and doing more, and lo and behold, he lived way beyond his 6 months. He lived, I'm going to say, 20-some years later, ended up writing a book and documenting how beneficial laughter therapy really is. And, in fact, the AMA finally, I want to say in the mid-'80s, recognized it as a legitimate therapy. It's so beneficial in so many ways, and yet when was the last time you had a really good, long belly laugh?
And
most
that
people
does...
can't even remember.
And that is so important because I know they really emphasize that in children's hospitals. But I always say this, you know, why when you're in a children's hospital or when you're born, you know, there's so much emphasis and people are all just around you. But when you're older and you're sicker and you're more alone, there's not really anybody around to facilitate that same type healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when a woman's in her 80s, somebody's not going to come in with balloons and a clown suit. You know, they're just not going to do it. But when they're kids, they have no problem doing that. So children seem to tend to heal. Do we not give the same emphasis to older people? You know,
shouldn't we be going in with balloons?
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, there's the medical effects have been proven. In fact, there was a great study over in India a couple of years ago. A doctor was researching the benefits, and they had, you know, single groups, they had small groups, they had large groups, they had some who just laughed among themselves with no stimulus, some had movies, you know, all the usual objective testing criteria. And so he did the study, I want to say, for about 6 months or 9 months, whatever it was. And he says, you know, thanks to everybody. It's been great and got lots of data to work on. And he went back, and the next week, his several of his groups were back in their rooms at their normal scheduled times. And he said, you know, folks, the study's over. I'm, you know, we're done. You don't need to keep coming back. And they said, but we want to. We like it.
Right. and that's important.
He said, you know, what are you doing? He says, hey, this is great. We feel better. It started what's now called laughter yoga, which is spreading all over the country. And people are saying, you know, rather than 3 cups of coffee and fighting rush hour traffic and everything else, they said, let me get to work 15 minutes early and laugh. And I start the day in so much better frame of mind and healthier and lots of oxygen in my system. And I said, you know, there's no question which is a healthier way to start your day. So there's so many good things about it, and yet people just don't talk about it. It's not a legitimate medicine anymore.
It's absolutely so true. You know, I can remember being a dental hygienist in a dental office, we would meet every day for 15 minutes before work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Except we didn't do it to laugh. We didn't do it for any positive benefit. It was a negative time. We would sit there, and he would say what went wrong or what we haven't done yet and how we were going to fix it for that day. You know, and I think back on that and then go, oh, my goodness, I'm glad I don't work there anymore, you know, because that really set the tone for the whole day, you know.
Absolutely. What's going to be wrong today?
Right. It's like you don't have your projection for the week and today's Thursday, you know. How are you going to get it today? And it's like, oh, man, you know? So, but it definitely does make a big difference, you know, in people's healing.
You know, there's a couple of therapies that I skipped in the first edition of my book that I did finally was convinced that they should be in the second. One of them was Pilates, which I, like many people, assumed it was just an exercise regimen until a couple of Pilates instructors cornered me and beat me senseless and said, you know, you need to dig into this and pay a little bit more attention. And they were absolutely right because Joseph Pilates was a German originally, but he happened to be living in England when World War I broke out. And guess what? He gets put into a concentration camp, more or less. And he was a boxer, a physical trainer. I mean, he was very into the body and to the core development. And all these soldiers were coming back, you know, just beat up and missing limbs and everything else. And he said, you know, your therapies aren't doing them any good. And his first piece of equipment was actually a hospital bed that he turned up on its end and disconnected the springs so that he could use it for resistance training.
Wow.
And it was originally developed as a therapy. And it's evolved into an exercise program now to help people develop strong cores and maintain their health and improve their health. But it was originally a treatment therapy, Bach flower therapy, which a lot of that's kind of drifting towards the end of the hippies and things. Dr. Bach was actually a physician in England, about 100 years ago, and he was given a cancer diagnosis and said, you've got maybe 6 months to a year to live. Why don't you wrap things up and, you know, go enjoy your family? And as a doctor, he said, that can't be. I've got too many things left to go with my life. And he started researching the health benefits of different flowers and trees and plants. And he lived, another 20-some years after that and developed all of these different therapies. The Bach Flower Institute is still functioning in England. I mean, they're now selling worldwide, and it's the same basic formulas. So, I mean, there's so many things out there that the reason I wrote the book was to give people the exposure to all the things that are waiting out there to give them the hope that they think they've given up on. So.
Well, and also, too, you know, when we say about Pilates and things, and you say form of exercise, you know, so many people think as soon as they hear that word exercise, they're not going to do it. I'm too ill, I'm not able, I don't have enough strength in my being. I ask them to stand on their tippy toes. And they say, okay. I said, stand there for 5 seconds. And they do. I said, do you realize how strong you are? Because your toes just held up the weight of the body. And how much do you weigh? And they're like, oh.
You're stronger than you think you are.
It's like, but your body had such a power to hold you up on your two toes, but you're telling me you can't? So let's look at where maybe the issue is. And then usually the issue is usually in what you think you are of strength or not strength. And you say about Bach flower, how many times do we always say now about go out for a walk, go out in nature, go out hug a tree, go out do this, go out sip tea, put greens on this, that, and the other. It's because really Bach flower with flowers and herbs and grasses and greens, all that nature stuff, we're trying to get into us because, well, we all know we're part of nature, which some people may believe and some may not. But that's why we're here, is to, you know, offer these other ideas. But if you can share that, you know, be in it and flowers and nature, you can get it from different sources like homeopathy, botanical medicine. You can get it, like you said, from Bach flower remedies. You can get it from essential oils. There's just so many different type therapies in there that you just find something that may resonate with you, or it could just be putting food on the table. You know, the different types.
It was one of the questions that I found personally challenging in the beginning because, like I said, when I came up from Mayo and was pretty much on my own to figure things out, I didn't think I had the ability to figure things out. But the more I started learning and the better I got the my health grew, the more I began to realize that we all have the ability, but we have to realize that we have the capacity. We have to be open to what we need and be willing to try it. There's a lot of, you know, I mean, they call it inner healer, divine guidance, synchronicity. There's a million different words to describe it, but it's the same basic process. If you give yourself half a chance, you can find what you need. And, you know, my book just gives people a shortcut to at least get exposed to all these things, but they, if they read all the way through it, they will find a couple of things that really attract them, that really kind of get their attention. They say, boy, I'd like to learn more about that. And then there's usually a website or two, you know, for them to find a book or a trade association or something to go on down that path. But it's amazing, if you give yourself just a teeny bit of credit, you can find exactly what you need for your health.
Well, I think we always say so much about the medical field, you know, and, oh, well, it didn't work what the doctor gave me. Mm-hmm. But really, if there are billions of people on the earth and they only learned from one set of books, which they were told is indoctrinated and this is what it is, how about all the other bazillion of books that are on the world, you know? Not everybody can read them all, not everybody can be exposed to them all, and not everybody can say, I know everything, and, okay, when you come in, I've got this litany of a million remedies and a million therapies, and you're going to sit in front of me for 10 minutes on your insurance, and I'm going to be good to go. I've plugged you in. I know what you're going to need. That rarely, you know, when I say that to people, they're like, oh, you're just being a smart aleck. And I said, no, I'm not. That is the reality. That is the actual truth. I mean, you have how many remedies in your book already? You know, then you look at how many drugs, how many therapies, how many this, that, or the other there are. You can line them all up, and no one is the almighty knowing for you what would work for you. And if we would just give maybe the healers that we are working with a little bit of credit and say, you know, I'll come back to you and I'll tell you how it worked. And you come back and you give an honest, you know, answer. Hey, doc, you know what? That really didn't work and I really am not going to die now. Or that drug didn't really work. Do you think maybe we can check something else out? Or, hey, you know, that therapy, that was kind of crazy. I tried it. Maybe I didn't do it right. You know, so we really need to have that open communication with a lot of people. Like, it's great to have all these therapies, but people are saying, well, I looked at the book and I followed the directions. That didn't work for me. Well, you know what? Maybe you didn't follow the directions totally right. Or maybe you needed to have somebody else to support you. Or maybe you needed to be open to it in the first place.
And therein lies the key.
Right. Therein lies the key is that if you're looking for that, I'm going to read the book and, hey, you know, somebody gave me a book and I'm going to try all this stuff and I can tell you in 60 days I'm good to go. Okay, then. Well, you know, if all of those things on TV that say you're going to lose 50 pounds in 6 weeks, there wouldn't still be those products and people buying them if it worked.
We'd all be skinny.
Right. It just isn't going to be that ultimate answer that you just plain, you know, click in the boxes and put your quarter at the end. So I really think whether these are therapies or the medical therapies, it's important for people to know that you really need to participate in your health. Your health is your own healing. It's not about anybody else's.
Oh, absolutely. And if you believe for whatever reason that you're not worthy or you know, whatever your self-limiting belief system is, no matter how good the therapy, your body is going to deny it. It's going to go against it. You're going to keep the problem that you've got because it says you don't want to heal, and I'm going to give you exactly what you want, which is poor health. So, I mean, there's, you know, I'm talking about books. I mean, we're still teaching biology the way we did 50 years ago, and the science has changed incredibly since then. I mean, they're still teaching them in high school and, in fact, some college courses that your genes are carved in stone, and if you've got the cancer gene, you're going to get cancer. And in fact, that's not the case. The Human Genome Project that they did in the last decade, which was supposed to find all of the answers for all the pharmacy companies and all that good stuff, they thought they were going to find like 125,000 different genes, which is what they calculated was how many we would have to do all the functions in the body that they know of. They only found 25,000 different genes. And it kind of threw him a curveball, and it wasn't until he went back and looked and said, you know what, there's a whole other layer of chemicals wrapping around our genes. That's called epigenetics. And that was turns out to be the key that they can turn on not the whole gene, but bits and pieces of the gene. That's how they get the different functions. And the epigenetics is strictly environmentally based. You may have the gene for cancer, but if you don't have the environmental trigger, you don't get cancer. So they're now shifting gears and going a whole different direction, but they're still teaching genes are the key in all of the pre-med courses. So how can we expect them to have the latest knowledge if they're reading old paperwork?
And you have to give them credit, too. I mean, well, you know, I can remember my son, God help this kid, when he was in third grade, he was reading Stephen Hawking in the middle of his books. And he got kicked out of so many schools, it's beyond comprehension. He skipped two grades, fifth and eighth grade, because he was just so far ahead, he was just sassing back the teacher, like what you and I are saying, you know. How can you really mm-hmm. say that? That look at what it really is, you know, because he had read way past what the teacher was. She probably went to teaching school in the 40s, you know, and this was now in the 70s. So
yep.
There you go. So, you know, everybody's basing on their experience upon what they knew in the past or hearing from other people. And, you know, I think we all need to be open to new ideas. And they may not be new ideas. They may be reframed. They may have a million different names. Okay, well, you know, like I said in the beginning about breathing, I know 100 different types about, quote, breathing. But you may have to hear it 100 different ways with 100 different names to be able to get it. So that is kind of good in a way. You know, I had a show the other day on meditation, and I told her, as soon as you sit down and they tell you to sit up straight and focus, well, I have the kind of mind that, okay, I can't focus. I don't know what you want me to focus on. You know, it's a pain in the butt for me to meditate. But as soon as she says focus, guess what I do? Focus. F-O-C-U-S. And I keep saying that over and over in my head. So I keep spelling the word and seeing this word instead of knowing how to focus that. And she, you know, and so you really have to hear maybe how to meditate, like we were saying with the exercise, with Pilates or any of these other therapies or even botanicals. They may have 100 different pieces of it. Just hear it 100 different ways and it'll still mm-hmm. be okay in the long run. You know, because a lot of people give up. Don't give up. Just hear it from somebody else.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, there's a lot of folks that say, well, you know, that's all woo-woo, you know, fancy hippie stuff, and you know, right. that doesn't have anything to do with real science. And I said, well, how about a scientist, a doctor who was on ABC's 2020 program back in the 70s? And they said, okay, you know, tell me what the show was about. And I said, well, Barbara Walters said that he was on the way to finding a cure for cancer. I said, great, tell me more. And I said, well, he had written a book after decades of research called Biologically Closed Electrical Circuits, because he found out that the body communicates with electricity
mm-hmm.
to every cell. We move positive ions to every cell and take negative ions away from every cell in the human body. And they said, wait a minute, that sounds a lot like, I said, yep, traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture with yin and yang. And
right.
when he used today's technology, he found a 95% correlation on his pathways of electrical resistance to the maps of traditional Chinese medicine. So here we have modern science and technology confirming a 5,000-year-old medical system from China. It's the same concept. It's just got different words, but it's the same principles.
And so, and two, you know, what I find is that people are more apt to do alternative and complementary therapies on their animals or their children versus themselves. Have you found that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Don't ask me why, but you're absolutely
yeah.
right.
And you wonder, about that, huh?
There was one, it's called T-Touch,
mm-hmm.
and it was originally developed by a gal for horses to help them remain calm, to help their injuries heal, and et cetera, et cetera. And as she was teaching her classes of how to use this T-Touch therapy, well, guess what? You couldn't bring a horse into the hotel conference room, so the students were all practicing on each other.
Mm.
And they liked it.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she said, you know what? Maybe this will work for people as well as horses. And so she adapted it and developed a T-Touch for people, and it does the same kind of things. So, again, they're using it for their animals, but they wouldn't think of using it for themselves.
And I think there's such a disconnect there, too, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, it would be okay for them, but, oh, no, you know, I have this disease. This disease will not allow me to do that. You
exactly.
know, and to bring up this, the idea of this disease, is this disease, and since when have you renamed yourself, you know, you are not the disease, and how can you get past that to be able to maybe want to do some of these therapies on your own?
Well, and, you know, in my case in particular, it was only through Psyche that I discovered in my subconscious I had some beliefs that my body was doing exactly what it thought I wanted. It was making me sick. And yet, you know, my conscious mind says, I don't want to be sick. This is a miserable way to live. But until I discovered the beliefs that it was functioning with and changed them, it was doing exactly what it thought I wanted it to. As bad as it felt and as uncomfortable as it was to live with, until I exposed it and put a little sunshine back in the dark corners, it's just amazing what the body can do because it thinks that's what you really want.
So can you tell us a few more therapies that do you find that maybe one or two that are common and one or two that are not? That would be great.
Okay, how about bee venom therapy, BVT? It's becoming more popular. People are beginning, well, providing you can find somebody who's still keeping bees, because that's a whole different challenge right now.
Right.
But it actually goes back to ancient Egypt that it was used as a treatment and therapy. But it wasn't until the 1930s that a Hungarian doctor began to use it and write about it and publicize it that people said, oh, so that's what you call this. And, you know, they were using the honey and the wax and other things, but they didn't understand it could actually be, you know, classified as medicine. So that's one of the old ones that's been around for a long time. How about the Alexander technique? There's one that most people have never heard of, and yet if you are a singer or a dancer or in the performing arts, or even a lot of athletes now know what it is. And F.M. Alexander was a professional actor about 100 and some odd years ago, except he suffered from chronic laryngitis, which is a little bit of a job problem if that's how you're trying
mm-hmm.
to earn your living.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd gone to all the doctors, and they'd done all the tests and, you know, all the pills and things that they had back then, and nothing was working. And so once again, he took it upon himself to find his own cure. And he, using a mirror, he simply looked at how he was speaking, how he moved, how he breathed, every little detail. And then he looked at people who never got sick and never had laryngitis, and he began to notice the differences. And as minute as they seemed to be on the surface, when you added them all up, it was the difference between being, you know, sick all the time or being healthy all the time. So once he knew what he needed to do, then it was a question of training and exercising and developing the right mechanics of the body, and lo and behold, he didn't have laryngitis anymore. And everybody said, well, that's great, you know, teach us how to do that. And then the dancers came along and said, wait a minute, that's great for the actors, but you're not doing anything for us. You know, what can you do to help us? We're always banged up and limping and everything else. And so he did the same thing. He went through looking at the most healthy and the most dinged up and damaged, and saw what was different, and then figured out an exercise program to strengthen what they needed to strengthen. And lo and behold, everybody got healthier. And it's actually taught now at Juilliard in New York and at the Royal Academies in London. And yet, if you're outside of the performing arts world, you've probably never heard of a 100-year-old therapy called Alexander Technique.
You know, that's so interesting. They probably haven't, don't you think? I don't think anybody's ever heard, you know. I know a lot of people that probably would have no clue what you're talking about.
I
think that's the purpose of the book, don't you think so? I mean, is that giving these ideas? You know,
absolutely.
Anybody could pick up this book and they could say, you know what, I can find something in here that I've never heard about. So this is not something where, oh, yeah, I'm a guru, I'm good to go, I know everything in there. I don't think that that's really true. I think your book has a lot of new ideas. It has a lot of new references. And everybody should be able to find something.
I have not heard anybody who hasn't found at least a couple of things in there, no matter how many years they've been in the field and how much they've done.
Right.
And everybody says, you know, with 339 therapies and 150 different categories, you're going to find something that you've never heard of before from somewhere
right.
in the world. it's just amazing. And again, it's not that it isn't well known. It's if you're outside of that particular little niche and just haven't run across it before, you don't pay any attention to it. We've got that, things like I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, that is so true. I just want to interject. This is so true what you just said, because, you know, I have lived so many different parts of the country. I've lived in the Northeast where the Amish live. I lived in Scottsdale, Arizona, the land I call the perfect. And I live in New Orleans now where everything of the food is we call brown and white. I mean, here when you go to McDonald's, when you go to McDonald's and stuff here, they don't even put, you know, everybody says meat and mayo. That's all they get on their hamburgers here. Even Wendy's, you know, you always say skip the salad. The people here, okay, I'll have a hamburger, skip the salad. You know, what the salad, mm-hmm. what they mean is don't put the dressing on it. Don't put the lettuce and tomato on top of anything because they're not going to eat it. They're going to sit there and pick it off. And, I mean, it is amazing how just a few thousand or hundred miles down the road, you've got everybody understands everything in this book. And on the other side, they're like, I don't have no clue what you're talking about. And they're still calling us shaman priestess and voodoos. So, mm-hmm. you know, and we're still, you'd never believe, you're still just maybe two or three states away. You would think you were on another planet, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, what I find fascinating is how long a lot of this stuff has been around. And yet it's like, it's the greatest secret in the world. The guy that wrote Gulliver's Travels, Jonathan Swift, he wrote 400 years ago that the three best doctors in the world were Dr. Diet, Dr. Quiet, and Dr. Merryman. And right. here we are today, 400 years later, still figuring out that the key to our health is what we eat and drink, the peace that we find within ourselves with meditation or prayer and whatever, and the simple joy that we find in life. It shouldn't be that big a secret, but it's been written about for centuries, and we're still figuring it out.
And when you go to a hospital, what do they have in there? They have a television in there. So you're sitting there doing whatever with the TV, and you're just like laying there with no fresh air. And what's the number one food you get in the hospital? Jell-O and white rice. Can you tell me what purpose Jell-O and white rice has? I just really want to know. And they wonder why you don't feel good and you have no energy. Jell-O and white rice. So we don't want to even go down those roads. Anyway.
No. We won't talk about the 100,000 people a year that die in hospitals, but that's okay.
Oh, that's for sure. So, you know what? There's like, how about the body devices? If you could give us one. We have about 5 or 6 more minutes. If you could tell us maybe about a laser or something like this. You know, a lot of people are interested in this now, are these new electrical therapy machines.
Okay.
Anyone.
It's so hard for me to narrow down what I want to talk about.
So many people are talking about PEMF these days, you know, the pulsed electromagnetic field, you mm-hmm. know, because that really does help a lot for people who have energy that is stuck.
Oh, no
and
question.
So many people are, yeah, and they're saying, oh, let's sit here and drink my green juice. Oh, well, you know, 10 minutes later, you're in the bathroom and there's your green juice. Well, mm-hmm. if your body doesn't really want to absorb these really dense, rich antioxidants or foods or benefit that you get out of your food, doesn't matter what the heck you're eating, if your body doesn't take it in, it's going nowhere. You know, so you really have to, what I always say is if you're using an Etch-a-Sketch and one day, you know, you've got a good dead corner of your Etch-a-Sketch, that's almost like your body. You slide that thing around all you want, but it's not going to go anywhere.
No question.
Yeah, so I find that PEMF and a lot of these other therapies that are now starting to an electric current through your body to start helping it regenerate, and like it's almost like sparks, you know? We're going to keep hitting all the spark plugs and see which ones are bad. When we hit a bad one, we're going to see if we can regenerate it. And I think that's been a lot of that going on in, you know, in the Western, or where people are really a little more attuned to be able to get these type therapies.
You know, going back to what you said earlier about people being willing to use these therapies on their animals or their small children mm-hmm. and get hesitant for themselves, cold lasers.
Right.
My vet uses it. In fact, we've had used it on one of our dogs who had a torn ligament, and helped him get back to healing faster and better than he was before. And yet, I happened to be writing the book at that point, and I said, well, I need to, you know, learn more about this. Turned out the company that manufactures it is just about 20 miles north of me, and they are a medical device company. That's their licensing. And I went up and talked to their president and got the background and everything. Lining his office walls were letters of encouragement and support and praise from virtually every kind of professional sport in America. Football,
wow.
Hockey, basketball, you name it. Every one of them, they were using these cold lasers to help their athletes heal better, faster, more thoroughly. And I'm like, and yet we've never heard of it. I heard about it from my vet. So,
right.
I mean, all these devices are out there, and they're being used, and they're being researched, and yet it's kept very quiet because unless you're a pharmaceutical company, you don't want anybody hearing about it, other options.
You know, and because most of the time everything isn't covered under insurance, I think our biggest paradigm shift that we're going to all start to have is that, you know, insurance is not, you know, the almighty. You know, it really isn't. And, you know, how you'll be able to pay for things or not be able to pay for things, maybe you need to look at a different paradigm shift there, you know. Who is
Absolutely.
Actually taking care of you, yourself or somebody else? You know, when you give
Are
over
you
that power... Yeah, you give over that power to a doctor, you give over that power to an insurance company and say, heal me, here I am, here's my card. That kind of might be your downfall, you know?
Well, and as a nation, I mean, we keep kicking around our healthcare system as a whole and say, well, we got the best healthcare system in the world. And I keep telling people, no, we don't. We have the most expensive healthcare system in the world. We're spending almost 17% of our gross domestic product on healthcare. And yet we rank number 30 in the world for longevity, for how long we're going to live. And worse, you know, for a lot of other diseases and things within the subcategories. And people just are shocked that that could even be possible. And I'm like, you're not paying attention to what's going on here. The other countries, other industrialized countries, have more general practitioners. They treat prevention more than the expensive treatment after the fact, the way we do in America. We spend 99% of our dollars on treatment and only 1% on prevention. So, I mean, we got a lot to figure out on how to take care of people and keep them healthy and happy.
You know, it's been really interesting. I can also say about environmental medicine, too, and what you said before about the genes, about what turns them on and off, and potentially that may be your environment. Here in Louisiana, go outside and you say, oh gosh, it stinks outside today. What's up? Shut my windows. And it's okay. 3 days later, you find out, oh yeah, they got fined. The company down the street put out a couple tons of benzene in the air. Okie dokie.
Yep.
You know, alrighty. And then last week, you know, they said, oh, there's a $500 million methanol plant going down the street. Whoa, really cool. You know, this is the land of spills here where they don't tell you about them. And then 2 weeks before that was, I'm sure everybody has remembered about the ammonia, the fertilizer explosion in Texas. Well, the number one reason for that was ammonia. So not 2 days after that, they announced here that the company that provides the ammonia for the fertilizer people, they're going to start making ammonia here. So now that, you know, $100 million plant making ammonia is going to be here. So let's talk about environment. If I go outside today and this guy spilled benzene, that guy spilled methanol, the other guy spilled ammonia, and it's all in the air together, but hey, I'm good to go. This is the land of the big easy, right?
Yep.
I'm happy,
exactly.
I'm healthy, and I'm good to go.
Have
so now where do you really think, right?
Mm-hmm.
So really, what do you really do? So I think a lot of patients really need to start saying, you know, this is working for me or this isn't. And if it isn't, then you need to make your change, you know, as we'll be relocating too. And you really need to take a stand and say enough is enough. So by looking at some of these therapies, they're great and they may not work, but they may not work for some people because maybe they've got other issues that are a little bit too much higher on the totem pole that are not allowing that total healing. So, you know, I'd encourage everybody to pick up Alan's book. He'll tell you in a minute where you'll be able to get it because it does have page after page. And you don't need to sit down and read this book page, you know, from the front to the back, blah, blah, blah. You pick it up. You could put this thing, you know, really big print. Great for me. A lot of references. You can read one page in 10 minutes and say, really cool. Or, oh, man, that is really weird. Hey, at least you've got some conversation to talk to somebody else about, you know?
Exactly.
And you could say to someone else, you know, hey, I just read this really stupid thing, you know? Did you ever hear about that? And they're like, oh, yeah, I do it all the time. Duh. So, you know, there's a whole lot of really awakening, I think, you can come up with this book. So, Alan, we have about 2 minutes left. I'd love you to tell us how to be able to reach you, your website, and how to purchase the book and the names of your books. That'd be great.
The official name is How to Unbreak Your Health, the second edition. And if they want to check out my website, which is www.unbreakyourhealth.com, there's a lot of information on the book and some interviews with people, therapists that are in the book, actually. Best place to buy it is probably just Amazon.com. Barnes & Noble and most of the book dealers can order it. It's in their systems, but they try to keep their shelf stocks down to a minimum, so that's understandable. But Amazon's got it easily available anytime they want to click on it.
You know, that's really great. And I think by you just listing a lot of these therapies, like we said, it just really kind of, here's a smorgasbord, you know. Run through it. See what may resonate with you today. You may try something for 2 or 3 months and say, this is bonk. Or it may be absolutely fabulous. And you may be using
absolutely.
It on everybody. And you may even learn to want to be a teacher, like you said. You know, you can learn so much more from all these therapies.
A good friend of mine, when the book first came out, you know, called me up and was giving me an earful of joy and complaining that I was costing him his good night's sleep. He was staying up till all hours of the night reading my book. And I said, well, what's the problem? Just put it down. He says, I can't. I said, I see that the section's only a page or a page and a half. So I read it, and he says, it's like popcorn. He says, you got to have, well, just one more, just one more. And, you know, suddenly I look at the clock, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning. So they can read as much or as little as they want. They can skip around. It's whatever they feel like is what they need. So it works for them.
Absolutely wonderful.
Thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest today. You know, I really think that that does help when people can say, you know, someone else has done a little bit of the legwork for me. I don't have to say, ask somebody and go back to the computer and try to look it up and find all this information. And they use such big words, I can't understand it anyway. So I really think your book is a great diary to be able to just, like we said, go through page to page and see what sits with you. So thank you so much for being with us today, Alan.
Thank you, Dr. Geller. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day. So to anyone that is interested on the listing for today's show, there is a little slice on the bottom of the description, and it says, to contact Alan, click here. You click there. You'll go directly to his website if you miss the name of that. And also, you can be able to purchase the book. The name of the book is in the show description. It is How to Unbreak Your Health. It is listed there, and you will be able to find that on Amazon.com. So for today, thank you so much for being with us, and have a wonderful day.